3 years ago, the mass shooting in Newton, Connecticut came in mid-December as I was in my fifth month here as your new parish minister. I had been working long hours getting to know you and getting settled in. I was on a steep and tiring learning curve, and I was not taking especially good care of myself at the time. A lot of effort was needed just to get like regular meals and to drink water. And so it's no surprise in hindsight that the shooting affected me strongly. Well, of course it did. It did all of us. It would be troubling, in fact, if it didn't. But I was impacted enough, kind of sad and foggy for longer than I wanted. Impacted enough that I went to my doctor just to make sure there wasn't something seriously wrong. My doctor ran some tests, which came out fine, and told me I had malaise and advised me to rest and take care of myself. And I found that taking some time off for my vacation and study leave returned me to better mental health. I share this story with you because we all experience times like these. We're going along with our lives, and then something goes along that tips us from life is full but manageable to life is overwhelming and no longer manageable. And that tipping point can be big, a death in the family, a change in employment, a divorce. But can also be surprisingly small, being out of groceries, getting stuck in traffic, bad news. The capacity to respond to life's ups and downs is called resilience. The word resilient is about returning to shape after being pushed and stretched. It's about bouncing back. Resiliency doesn't mean that we don't feel our emotions. Resiliency doesn't mean that we're stoic or that we're happy all the time. It's appropriate to grieve our losses, to be shocked and saddened by terrible events, to be afraid of violence, to be angry about injustice. Just as it's appropriate to feel gratitude, joy, and love for all the good things in our lives. When we need to be concerned is when our response is disproportionate to what's happened. It was appropriate for me to feel sad about the shootings in Newton, but inappropriate for that sadness and my sense of being tired and not at my best. Inappropriate for that to go on for weeks. That was a sign something wasn't right. To me, my response seemed disproportionate to what had happened, and so I saw my doctor. And if the appropriateness of your response is hard to evaluate on your own, because it can be, ask a loved one for their opinion. Just ask that question, does my response seem disproportionate to what's happened? Or you can ask your minister, or your doctor, or your therapist. We are not always able to see clearly what's going on in our own lives. So that's a bit about how to identify when we aren't resilient and responding well, but what we really want is to cultivate our resiliency, to grow our ability to bounce back, because there are going to be losses, there are going to be hard days, and there's going to be bad news. And in this world of losses, hard days, and bad news, we need to do more than just survive the ups and downs. We need to be able to respond, to support one another, to care for the hurting, to advocate for change, and to rebuild after destruction. Today is the fourth sermon in a 10-part series on voluntary simplicity. And our topic today and my challenge to you for December is to spend at least 5 minutes every day in prayer, meditation, silence, or journaling. These are the practices I encourage you to explore to help cultivate your resiliency. I'm being very specific about what constitutes a spiritual practice here. There are a lot of different ways to define spiritual practice, and here's mine. Practices that encourage our ability to hear the still small voice within. The still small voice within. You know the voice I mean. It's not always saying things we want to hear, which is why we often work so very hard not to hear what it's saying. We keep ourselves busy sometimes, working, cleaning, watching TV, surfing the internet, eating, drinking, very busy to avoid hearing this voice. It says things like, you can't continue working at a job that makes you this unhappy. You can't continue in a relationship that makes you this unhappy. All the trappings of happiness around you aren't making you happy. Things like that. Darn that little voice. It can be uncomfortable to hear that voice if we've been avoiding it. And engaging in a spiritual practice for the first time, even just for 5 minutes, can, for some of us, feel overwhelming. Emotions we've been working hard to ignore sometimes come rushing up. It's very common to initially feel great anxiety or great sorrow, emotions we work hard to avoid. This is why developing a daily practice is so important. As we make room to experience our thoughts and emotions regularly, they cease to be so overwhelming. So these are the four practices I'm recommending to you: prayer, meditation, silence, or journaling. We have a tendency in Unitarian Universalism to want to call almost anything a spiritual practice. And I'm pushing back against that this morning. So yes, it can be soothing to wash the dishes mindfully or go for a daily walk. But these four that I'm encouraging are classic disciplines, and it can be very grounding to start with the classics. You can experiment a bit to find what works for you, of course, but the greatest benefits will come when you do the same practice every day over time. 5 minutes, you must admit, is very doable, no matter what your time constraints are. The greatest challenge to start with, really, is just remembering to do it. It can be hard to add something new to your daily routine. You may realize, oh, I didn't do that. At my house, we've been doing this all week, and we tend to remember around 10 p.m. Oh, the daily practice. I'm going to talk in a moment about each of the practices, but let me be clear why we're starting so small and what I think the benefits are. A daily spiritual practice is like strengthening a muscle. I lift weights to strengthen my arms, so when I need arm strength, I have it. I'm ready. I don't really enjoy lifting weights at all. But when the time comes, I'm glad to feel strong and able to push the hymnal cart and lift boxes and tables and move chairs around and do the things I want to do. Spiritual practice works similarly. It doesn't always feel good to do. You may not enjoy doing it at all. But you're building a muscle. And when the time comes that something happens, the loss, the bad day, the hard news, you'll find that you've strengthened your spiritual resilience. And you have it. You're ready. The act of making space for our thoughts and emotions means that we're better able to process our thoughts and emotions on a daily basis. We won't get so backed up, and we won't get so knocked down. Some of you, of course, have very developed spiritual practices, and this challenge isn't for you. But I encourage you to share with your fellow congregants in conversation the benefits you've experienced from sticking with a practice over time. So prayer is the practice we are most uncomfortable with, most of us as a group. I hear that from you often. You're curious about prayer, but you don't know how to do it. You don't know what it means to pray if you aren't sure who or what you're praying to. I've started this fall periodically adding a prayer time to our worship service so you can hear what prayer sounds like. Karen offered us such a beautiful prayer this morning. So my advice to you about prayer is don't worry about it. We don't have to overanalyze everything, even though we're Unitarian Universalists. If you're curious about prayer and think you might like to try it, but you're agnostic or even atheist and you aren't sure what it means, just don't worry about it. This is not a test, and you do not have to explain yourself to anyone. Just give it a go if you're wanting to. If it comforts you, if it feels interesting, open your heart and mind and just follow that impulse. It's an experiment, an exploration. I see prayer and meditation as complementary practices. They're two sides of a coin, of a same coin. Meditation, at its best, helps us feel our integration with the interconnected web of all existence. Meditation is about our oneness. Prayer is about our separateness, the acknowledgement that even in our interconnectedness, we have hopes and fears that are our own. Meditation is the practice most of us are familiar with. We have three meditation groups here at Chalice. The Women's Meditation Group meets Wednesday mornings at 10:30 a.m. here in the chapel. The Zen Meditation Group meets Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. in the cottage. And a Zen Meditation Group meets Sunday afternoons at 3:30 p.m. in the cottage. If you're curious, you can come back later today. You can find guided meditations on YouTube. There are apps you can download to help you with meditation. The practice we enjoyed this morning comes from a small book by Thich Nhat Hanh. Another wonderful book for children and for any of us who struggle with meditation is called Sitting Still Like a Frog, and it comes with a CD of guided meditation. So there's lots to try with meditation, including just sitting quietly and focusing on your breath. The practice of silence is not actually just silence. It's silent, still, do-nothingness. So it's not cleaning the kitchen in silence. I know we're all wanting to get our errands done somehow when we're doing spiritual practice. No. It's not reading a book in silence or looking at the computer in silence. It's putting everything away and sitting still and being silent. Just let your mind wander, stare at the cat, twiddle your thumbs. It lacks the intention of prayer or meditation. In our goal-oriented world, sitting still and silent and doing nothing might be the hardest practice for some of us to try. And journaling is also a practice most of us will be familiar with. Your main decision will be if you want to journal nicely in a notebook you intend to keep, or if you want to just scrawl your thoughts on composition paper and then throw it away. That's up to you. A minimum of 5 minutes a day, prayer, meditation, silence, or journaling. Author Sarah Ban Breathnach writes, "Usually when the distractions of daily life deplete our energy, the first thing we eliminate is the thing we need the most. Quiet, reflective time." Making a commitment to daily spiritual practice is making a commitment to keeping that quiet, reflective time. The losses will come, the hard days, the bad news. Our work is to grieve, to lay down, to hold each other, to rest. And then our work is to get back up and get back to the work of healing the world. Together, we will open minds, open hearts, and open doors. We will nurture spirits and seek justice in the wider world. As we breathe in, may it bring peace. As we breathe out, may it be with love. Amen.